Pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. And Nathan, I'm exceptionally happy right now because what shape do you think the ice in my glass resembles?
A penis. I mean, granted, that's my answer to everything when you say, hey, Nathan, what do you think?
Although I agree that it is pure happiness. No, it is a Death Star.
Oh, you got those, did you?
I did get them, and after furiously trying to get it out of the mold without breaking the thing in half, I was able to get one out in full shape and form, and I'll tell you right now, it looks glorious. I'm now pouring scotch over it, and an entire planet suddenly cried out in terror. Yes,
delicious terror.
I love it because I love round ice. Like, I love what it does to drinks. I think it's really, really cool. But the really sad thing about the ice cube mold is that it's got such slight details that literally as soon as you pour anything over top of it, all the details are instantly gone. It's just a ball of ice. So it's like, I absolutely love it, but you pretty much have to leave it in your glass as long as possible and without ruining the mood.
So the Rebel Alliance should have just tried pouring some scotch over top of it rather than, you know, blowing all of themselves up except for the three that survived.
I honestly don't see how that's not the answer to every question. But yes, I am drinking the Ilyich, which is a peaty scotch, which Kyle brought over the other day. So I'm having the rest of that right now. What are you drinking, Nathan?
Fetzer Moscato white wine. Delicious and fruity.
There you go.
I was going to say, I was going to go for beer, but I've been drinking beer all night, and my heartburn is already fucking killing me. So
I can't drink any more carbonated cum.
So yeah. You don't like the Rickard's White?
After having four of them over the span of a couple of days, I think I have three left in my fridge. I'm just kind of not feeling it.
Yeah, you know,
I'll eventually drink it, I have no doubt, but right now I'm just, I'm not feeling it.
Fair enough.
All right, so let's start the show off by talking a little bit about our weekly listener poll, which I found very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And here's why. The question was, do you think that the Demons of Chaos Army book allows for effective dual god list building in this new version? We had a relatively split vote, but the majority, 57%, said no. The rest said yes. We did have two comments actually on the poll itself instead of comments on the website. In the future, I'll say comment on the website. It's the easier way to go. That way people don't have to click through to read it, but that's just fine. We had a couple of interesting comments there. I won't go too far into them or anything.
Really?
Because
I'm on here and I can't even find them.
Well, if you look at the actual poll, and then behind...
Oh, shit, you're right. Yes. Wow, that's... Okay.
Nobody really sees it, but for some reason, that's where the comments went. Well, whatever. Comment on the site next time, assholes. Anyways. I think this is very interesting, and this is something that I want to talk about. I still feel this way. Nathan, you did not feel this way as of last week. You've had a change of heart, haven't you? I know you don't want to have a change of heart. I mean, say that I'm right.
For the most part, I believe that the monogod lists are going to be the best, hands down. I personally feel that if you are going to go dual god, it's basically, here's my monogod list, and I took a greater demon of a different god. And that's it. Like, that's realistically, I think, what you are going to see in terms of dual god lists. Kind of being a little more specific, I expect to see, if you're going to see beyond that, you'll see cannons of Khorne all over the place, because who gives a fuck about their instability? They're there to run around and shoot shit.
Right.
But otherwise, like I said, I think that almost every competitive demon list you're going to see are either going to be rocking one god, or they're going to be rocking one god with like two cannons of Khorne. Mm-hmm. Because why the fuck wouldn't you? But that's the extent of it. And I don't really think that you can say that that is an effective, quote-unquote, dual god list when all you're doing is buying chaff.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what I mean, right? It's a cannon. Who cares what happens to it?
Right. And obviously, since, you know, flamers aren't really all that effective anymore, you're hurting for shooting. And there's no real options there. Nobody's going to go bank on the death heads for their fucking plague drones or anything like that. So you're going to see those mono god lists playing really, really hard. And then, you'll probably see one or two cannons of Khorne out there just because for 135 points, it's fucking retarded. But That is the listener poll for last week. Thank you, everyone, for voting on that one. We'll have another question at the end of this show, which will be posted on the jadedgamercast.com website. Okay, let's talk a little bit about what we did this week in hobby.
I didn't do shit. I was going to say, I think I made 600 demon lists, 100 of which I sent to you.
Mostly I spend all my time critiquing your demon lists.
Yeah, that was
and tearing
say, that
them
was,
to pieces. That was my weekend hobby.
Yeah, that was your weekend hobby. Because, fuck, I think like every day it would be like 7 or 8 new lists. Because it'd be like, you know, that's an interesting thought. What about this? So,
I think it was interesting. One of the things that you said, and it we'll touch on this a lot more in next episode when we talk about tactics for Warhammer Fantasy Demons. Is that you had a very, very hard time actually deciding on a direction. Because in the old book, everything was so clear-cut. You take this, 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 and this. And those are the lists that you build. Whereas now, you're constantly unsure because there are just so many fallbacks to playing Mono God or even trying to blend the two together that it's very, very frustrating.
Yeah, and we'll definitely talk about that next week. I don't want to get another 2-hour. Mm-hmm. I think last week... Was last week longer than episode 100? Like, was that our longest episode?
No, ever? Episode 100 was longer than that. But that was a we've got
well in terms of quality. In terms of quality, it was far and away better than episode 100.
But yeah, it was quite long last week. But I think that was just primarily because it was an army that you play, you know, and it was one of those things where we were seeing some pretty drastic changes, a lot of new stuff added in. Okay, so. Let's get on to the main topic for today's show. Obviously, we're going to skip Model of the Week because we've been talking about demons like crazy. We talked about what we liked and what we didn't like already. So let's start into Warhammer 40,000. Warhammer 40,000, Demons of Chaos. There's some very, very interesting things happening here. But before we actually get kicking into this, Nathan, give me a quick overview of how you feel the direction of this book has either remained the same or changed.
Oh, it's changed hugely, and I love it. Because one thing that they changed is no more bullshit demonic assault.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's funny that despite adding in 100 different dice roll mechanics like fucking random gifts and your warp storm table and all of that bullshit that's all random dice rolls, the army as a whole it feels and plays a lot less randomly than it used to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always admitted that the fucking chaos demons were such a hard fucking list to play. I played, I think, 4 games of 40K with them, and I was just like, yep, not going to happen until they get a new book, because they simply didn't have the tools that they needed. I think this book gives them the tools and gives them a lot of tactical flexibility. So I am quite happy. Like, honestly, I think demons are going to be my go-to main army in both game systems, even though both lists will be 100% different.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Interesting.
I like it.
Okay. I was pretty happy with it overall. I felt like it was a lot more cohesive. You were able to play 40K with a 40K army, which was kind of strange for demons. but really, you know, some of the options that they threw out there were very strange to me. Obviously, we've got the Warp Storm table, you know, and some of the kerfuffle all around that and the wording of some of those things.
Oh, but see, the here's the worst part is when you read... point this out, whether it's the Warp Storm table or the demonic instability, Robin Crudace did a better job of writing them than Matt Ward did. Because hands down, Matt Ward with the fantasy tables, because realistically, like we said last week, a lot of these two books were written together. They share so many different things. So the Warp Storm is the fucking Reign of Chaos table. They're identical. I think they're even fucking identical down to what it, you know, like, even the results are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yet in 40K, it is clearly written how it's supposed to work. Same with instability, because what's actually interesting is if you read the rules for demonic instability for 40K, it specifically says that after you read what Reality Blinks does, and it's the same, or Banished, which is the same, it says, now assuming that the unit has not rolled a Reality Blinks or a Banished result, you calculate the results. Well, in fantasy, if I roll Reality Blinks, I get all of my models back, and now I still have to take models off for instability. Like, it's so clunky and poorly written, because should I pop Snake Eyes, I get my Insane Courage, my entire, you know, every casualty I suffered comes back, and now I still have to do the math of go, okay, 2 plus my leadership of 9 is this, and then subtract. Like, it's just, it's so clunky. And that's one thing that I want to actually say is just like, I think...
Well,
this book is just better written. And the fact that Crudace writes it kind of hurts me inside because I hate the man for his work on the Tyranids.
Okay.
But he's proven with his last two fantasy outings and now this that he is clearly getting better.
Okay, fair enough. I think all of the fans will cry a tear by hearing that because, you know, that's a trope of the show suddenly going by the wayside.
Yeah, come on. All you have to do is just be like, hey, Nathan, how do you feel about Tyranids?
And no, I don't. Crudace! Okay, I disagree with you here, really, Nathan, because I think that's there for a reason. And I think it's not there in fantasy for the exact same reason. It's just in Warhammer 40,000, you're not going to see the numbers that you're going to see in fantasy. You're not talking about combats that are taking 18, 19, and 20 models off the table. In a lot of cases, you're going to see a lot less. You're going to see a lot less casualties. So for them to just be like, well, okay, just get them all back. Don't count. Don't try to subtract, blah, blah, blah. Just you get them back. It's not as detrimental as, like, say, having a massive unit of Tomb King chariots get the charge with flaming. You know what I mean? Like, and, oh, I lost 22 guys. Hey, look, I got them all back. Yay, me. Like,
but I lost
there's a certain level of balancing.
So now I take them all off again. And, I mean, I think that's just where that mechanic.
Say that again.
Yeah, but I mean, even if I roll snake eyes, you know, it's just like, I lost 22 models from your chariot charge and I get them all back, but I lost combat by like 28. So I take them all off again. I'm the same. Like it feels like a really clunky mechanic in fantasy, the way Mount.
But you're not dead. You're not poofed.
You're right. You're not poofed. But you know, like I said,
it makes sense.
It could be that's intentional. To me, it just feels like sloppy writing.
You're a sloppy writing.
Hey, maybe it's because I'm a writer. Like, it's like, that is my job. People pay me to write things.
Also,
when I read some of the stuff, especially the inconsistencies, like, all of Matt Ward's language is fucking terrible. Like, when with the Death Scythe in the Necron book, where it's just like, if the guy knew how to write a sentence, this rule would make sense and would not have the internet up in arms and awaiting an FAQ. But instead, he writes it in the most vague way possible.
I agree. I do agree. I think that the wording in this is a lot clearer. You're always going to have rules lawyers trying to push you one way or another. But for the most part, we're all waiting for an FAQ that we know is going to show up, you know, probably within the next week.
The Dark Angels one was out fucking smoking fast with just a couple of things, so I expect the same thing.
Let's talk about Marks of Chaos.
Cool.
Demons of Khorne, Demon, Furious Charge, and Hatred. You know, it was really
funny. It's Hatred Slaanesh, though. Like, that's what I love about it, is they kept the whole demonic rivalry things, but it's not Hatred across the board.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah, I should have kept writing.
Sorry.
Reading. Writing.
This episode, are we gonna try to do an episode with bad British accents all the time?
Can I do a Cockney one? Anyways.
As long as you say cock, I mean, it's pandering to our fans at that point.
Sloppy cunt. But, okay, so yes, Hatred, Demons of Slaanesh. What I found interesting about this is there were a lot of people who instantly freaked the fuck out because they went in and they looked at their book and they didn't really read the marks and they're going like, oh my god, they got rid of the Demons Invulnerable save. It's a whole army with no armor saves. This is fucking terrible. They do have invulnerable saves because they get the demon rule with their demon of blah, blah, blah. And if you go through the whole book, everything has to have that at some point or another, or it just has demon as part of its rule. So, yes, everything still does have a 5+ invulnerable save. What's interesting about that is that greater demons, demon princes, just have the straight up 5+. Like, it's not, they don't have any bonuses. They, like, the great unclean one has a 5+ instead of a 4+ now.
Yep.
So, it is one of those things you just have to kind of deal with. But, I mean, take it with a grain of salt, 5+ invulnerable save is still pretty fucking good across the board.
And they got cheaper, so I mean...
They did get relatively cheaper, but that was... We all knew that was coming. It was too far one side. It was the opposite of what we were seeing in fantasy, where things needed to become more expensive to balance out a little bit. Here's the thing that I kind of get frustrated with. I got nothing against Khorne. I got nothing against Slaanesh and Tzeentch. But what the fuck is going on with the Demon of Nurgle mark? Like, did they just figure that, well, we made Nurgle really good in fantasy, so why the fuck should we do anything with them in 40K?
Really? Because Shrouded is such a great rule.
Yeah, it's a cover save when you already have a 5+ invulnerable.
Yeah, but I mean, it's plus two to whatever cover save you get. So, I mean, if you're shrouded, you put a fucking objective in cover, and now they're camping on a 3+ cover save.
That's so great. They're also slow and purposeful. They have no shooting weapons.
They've always been slow and purposeful.
Well, I know, but they've got no shooting weapons, and they count as having defensive grenades. Like, is Nurgle just the camper? Like, the camper army now? Like, I know Shroud is good, right? Plus two to your cover save is great. But, you know, obviously, if you're in the open...
Oh, yeah, if you're in the open...
fucking anything.
If you're in the open, it means fucking nothing. No, like I said, I like it because your average... Your average
for gay.
I don't know, though, but I mean...
It's boring as fuck. You want to play a sit-back defensive demon army?
With true line of sight, though, you pull cover really, really easily. So that's why I'm just like, it's not terrible. It's not great, though. And I think that's the thing is, in fantasy, we saw Demon of Nurgle be the head and shoulders winner. Minus one to hit is hugely better than all other demon marks. Here, Shrouded, it is a very defensive ability. And I think that unlike the fantasy book, the 40K book still does really well with mixed gods because it's not like you have inspiring presence or hold your ground as special rules that you have to play to. So if all I do is take two fucking mind out squads of plague bearers to deep strike into cover and hang out or
but
even just deploy in and walk there, you're good.
Who really wants to play an army based around the idea that you have to take two min squads just for camping objectives? Like, well, it's a shitty way to put people into a position with an army like that.
It's how everyone was playing them in the last book anyway, so I don't think anyone is looking at that and just being like, oh my god, this is unfair. Because like I said, it's how they played it.
I'm not saying it's unfair, I'm just saying it's dumb. Like, I was really hoping something would change. Then,
I think that the combination of Demon of Nurgle with the mobility that plague drones have, I mean, they're fucking jetpack cavalry, which is amazing and awesome and hilarious all at the same time. So it's just like, they will always be able to move into such a position that there's always intervening cover. So you've got a stupidly fast unit that you want to get into combat that's going to have a 3+ cover save every turn until they get there. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Look, I am not disagreeing with you because holy shit, in fantasy, Demon of Nurgle is outstanding. Hell, I mean, it's even a mark of Nurgle for Warriors of Chaos. It's unfucking believable. And so I think it's more an issue of this feels like a letdown because it's not that good. Well, this one is way more situational.
What bothers me about it is when we see demons, the mark of Nurgle or demons of Nurgle in fantasy and in 40K, there was a certain level of continuity happening there, right? In fantasy, it's always kind of been minus one to hit, and that's pretty much the way it's always been, and you know, works very well in fantasy. It's a great way to play it.
Yeah.
But when you get into 40K, Mark of Nurgle, Demons of Nurgle, it's toughness. It's the toughness bonus.
Yes, and
why
and
at any point? To... Mm-hmm. Why at any point did they suddenly feel like, well, you know, let's just not do the toughness?
You know what I think it is? Because in the old book, Nurgle was Feel No Pain. Epidemius grants it. And I honestly think that Crudace probably ran out of ideas on what to do with Epidemius's tally. And that's why he's just like, oh, I'll just give him Feel No Pain. Oh, wait, they already have it. Well, Feel No Pain 3+ was fucking broken. So maybe I'll just give them Shrouded or whatever. Because all it feels like, again, with that Demon of Nurgle Universal Special Rule is if you don't have Epidemius to give you Feel No Pain across the board and Poison 2+ and all of the other great things that he's doing, you are just going to feel, if you're playing Mono Nurgle, you're just going to feel disappointed. You know, because again, Shrouded is very situational. Oh,
yeah. And that's exactly where it is.
And I can do it. Oh, you are in cover. You have a 3+ cover save. Okay, I'm just going to drop heavy flamers on you.
Right.
Take your 5+.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with the change to their stat line, because they are no longer toughness 5.
That's great.
Base, that becomes an issue. But that's why, again, it really feels like Demon of Nurgle requires Epidemius. You're not going to see a lot of 5-man plague bear squads the way you did before.
At 9 points a model, they just feel like they've departed so far from the fluff in 40K. That's part of what's so disappointing for me is they feel like they're just kind of better close combat guardsmen. Like it's just it falls off for me in a lot of ways, and that's really the biggest issue. And again, I like Nurgle, so I'm going to take a little bit more offense to this I know. I understand that my ego can get a little out of hand sometimes. You know, part of the reason why Nathan and I record shows from between cities that are 3 hours apart is the room for our egos.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I always say.
Oh, you know, like I said, every now and then, you know, every time we are together in the studio, you have to make repairs to the foundation of your house because it can't contain our egos. We just can't. It does structure
that. I have a walkout basement. We have to open all the windows. All right. So Demons of Tzeentch, Demon, Hatred, Nurgle, manifesting psychic powers, a +3 leadership. I really, really like that. And when we get to the psychic powers, I think that's a deal breaker for me kind of looking at Tzeentch for the last couple of years going, yeah, there's no point. I really, really like that bonus. And then the fact that you also get the always get a reroll of saving throws. I like how they made it specifically say saving throws, not just invulnerable saves.
Yeah.
Just for the fact that you also get that on a cover, you know, absolutely. And I think that that's really nice.
And then Demons of Slaanesh. I think Demons of Slaanesh win out, though. Easily. I mean, I like Demons of Tzeentch. Mm-hmm. Furious Charge is good. It's mm-hmm. always great. But the fact that being a Demon of Slaanesh immediately gives you rending is huge because yep. Slaanesh is always high volume of attacks.
Well, we're talking 40K, which is we're talking Marines.
Yeah, we're talking Marines.
All it is, and we know what rending can do.
Yeah, we know what rending can do, but then you add in the whole additional distance to run. I mean,
I love
a unit of infantry is running 4 to 9 inches. So you're mm-hmm. moving 6, you're running 4 to 9. You are basically, every time you run, taking a turn of movement out. And with random charges and casualties from the front, we have talked about how in 40K, combats are all happening a turn later. Demons of Slaanesh have cut that whole extra turn out.
Mm-hmm.
And that is fucking huge.
Well, it's the turn 2 charge you can bank on.
Yes, well, especially with a unit of cavalry mm-hmm. that are running 7 to 12 inches. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous. Because if you look at Seekers, who are cheap now, they're able to move 12 because they're beasts. They're then going to run 7 to 12 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are literally set up for a next turn charge because if you work it out, 2 turns of movement plus 1 turn of running, you have a minimum distance moved of 31 inches plus mm-hmm. your charge. So, yep. I mean, it's fucking huge. And they're cheap as fuck. 12 points a model for a Seeker Slaanesh. You'd be dumb not to do it. And even Fiends. Fiends are also beasts. So they are also going to be able to run. Okay, it has to be cavalry models, so no, they wouldn't.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, but either way, stupidly fast, it is the turn 2 charge you can bank on, and there is nothing else in the game that has that, and that's why it's huge. And even their vehicles move flat out, and they go faster. So it's just like Slaanesh is up and personal.
I think you have to give a certain amount of credit to Robin Crudace in this case. I think anytime you add a new mechanic to Warhammer 40,000, and it's a mechanic that people sit there and go, oh, you know what? That's really cool. That's a great special rule. Why hasn't anybody thought about this before? That's a huge win.
Yep.
And before the
and this is the second one that I would give to Crudace, that he really likes to play with run. Because both Imperial Guard with the move order and Hormagaunts roll 3 dice and pick the highest for run. So, I mean, he is all about adding in unique ways to eke out more movement. And it works because no one says Hormagaunts break the game because they have a reliable 5 or 6 inch run move.
Well, it's still random.
You know, absolutely. And the same thing here. No one's looking at that saying beast, you know, cavalry moving 12 and then running 12 breaks the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a very interesting thing. And I think you're right. You do have to give him credit for the fact that he will take a risk on a game mechanic and everyone looks at it and goes, you know what? This isn't stupid.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like when they added Snapshot and they added hull points, right? Like all those things were not game changing, but they were great additions to the game plan. It gave people the opportunity to think of things a little bit differently. So I'm very, very happy with it. All right, let's talk about the Warlord's Trait table. I think they're all quite good. I think that you should be very happy with it. Pretty much anything that you roll up, you're going to be pretty okay with. Being able to reroll the Warp Storm, being able to reroll Demonic Instability tests, you know, the Warp Beacon, Herald of Doom, they're all good.
Oh yeah, there is not a bad choice. I do like Warp Beacon though, because if you actually, like, it says friendly units. So unlike the rules we get to further in, with icons where you have to be of the same god alignment, legitimately, if you roll Warp Beacon as your warlord trait, any unit of any god alignment can use you as a teleport homer, and that is really fucking useful, especially if you're going to play mixed god, which there is no penalty to doing.
Or if you're going to take allies.
Yeah, absolutely.
It says friendly units.
With the demon special.
All right, so let's
talk... Chaos Space Marine allies. Demon Prince, go.
You go. We won't really talk about the Warp Storm table. It's pretty much the same as what everybody's seen.
I was going to say, the only thing to add is, as I said before, it is identical. However, it specifically says... and each unengaged enemy unit. So on anything that will affect an enemy unit, it's clear and, you know, it's clear as day. It's written out in there. And I think the clarity that Robin Crudace wrote in this table is the whole reason why you have 100-page forum flame wars on fantasy forums where they're just like, you know, debating the meaning of the word and it's just like, listen, we all have a basic grasp of the English language, and we can all agree that Matt Ward doesn't. So let's wait for an FAQ.
Pretty much. And so, that's what it comes down to. I mean, it can go either way, and we all totally get it. It's just, I always have to laugh, because really, it's only affecting you on a six. And it's not a game breaker. It's not the end of the world, and the guy's not rolling it every fucking turn. Chill the fuck out.
Well, yeah, because
when the FAQ comes... You probably will have never had it happen to you at that point, right? Yep. And because, again, a lot of guys will just be like, ah, it's contested, so let's just skip it, right?
Yeah.
All right, so...
Because, yeah, there's only four results on that whole table
right,
that can affect enemy units, and even then it's on a six. And do you really think that D6, Strength 4, AP 3 hits with Poison 4 plus and Ignore Cover is going to break the game? Oh my god, one unit of Marines lost two Marines from this mechanic. That's bullshit. Yes.
That's bullshit, man. That's bullshit.
This is bullshit, man.
All right, so obviously we've got Khorne. As we go through the book, it has the same layout as the fantasy book, where we've got Khorne all the way up. There's a couple of weird shifts here, especially like the cannon of Khorne, for instance, right? Like you've got the skull cannon demonic gift, and it just ends up being a – hold on, I'm going to flip to it because I actually want to take a look at it again here. Skull cannon.
It is a terrible, terrible weapon if you're looking at killing things. But I think the reason you take a skull cannon of Khorne in 40K is the Dread Skull rule. Place a marker next to each unit that takes one or more hits, so you don't even have to kill anything with your pitiful AP of 5. Any friendly demon unit that charges a unit so marked does not suffer the initiative penalty when charging through difficult terrain. You buy a skull cannon to be grenades for your assault army. The end. That's the only reason. You're not going to kill more than a couple Marines a game.
Yeah, and it's just, it's really funny for the cost. And I think that that's the thing that throws me for a loop on it. I'm going to go here. Skull cannon. Yeah, 125 points.
That is really weird just to have grenades.
It is an exceptionally weird, and again, it's still a chariot. It still counts. Like, it's got all the rules for chariots, but fuck off. Like, we don't really need Hammer of Wrath that badly in my
army. Yeah, but dude, it's strength 7 because of the Demons of Khorne. Yeah, no. If you have 125 points to spare, there's two things at play. One, you're building your list very poorly if you have that many points left. Two, sure, go for it. Your army could use grenades.
Sure.
But that's really it.
Yeah. That's really it. And really, that's the biggest problem with it. But otherwise, it doesn't do a whole lot for you. We do get the special characters. Hey, sure. Cool. Super awesome. We are seeing, you know, the points reductions, as we talked about earlier. No big surprise there. There's not really any surprises for me when it comes to point reductions. Was there anything for you? It was all very reasonable in my eyes.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, 6th edition... And we saw this in late 5th. There was a move towards more models because they want to cost less points. So having points reductions doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, cool that you can take Karnak in 40K. I thought that was actually kind of rad. and the stuff he gives you is fun. So I kind of like all that stuff with Karnak. I think that he would be a cool character to throw in there. However, that does bring us to the composition of army lists and the way the force organization chart works. Mm-hmm. I will get to that right away. I was going to say, do you have any comments for Khorne or any of the gods in terms of the units?
I think the only thing is the Blood Throne is still good because of the everyone gets your locus within six, or at least all demons of Khorne. Same thing as it did in Fantasy. But I thought that the Gore Feast rule, despite being exactly the same, is way worse in 40K. Because you just get less Hammer of Wrath attacks than you do Chariot Impact hits.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It falls off, and it's really unneeded, especially given what they're providing for you in the Force Organization.
Yeah,
you don't ever feel like you have to do that. There's some weird things about the Force Organization, but really nothing there. Obviously, when we talk about Tzeentch, Flamers and Screamers really come out on top. They work very, very well in 40K. Strength 5, AP 2, Melee, Armor, Bane for the Screamers is pretty freaking awesome,
yeah,
considering that they count as jet bikes.
Yes, Screamers are very, very good. For me, though, I felt that Flamers lost a bit. They lost a lot of versatility, because in the last book, or rather, sorry, I could be completely wrong because I never played Flamers in 40K with the upgrade.
Right.
But now all they have is...
Was it not their stand-and-shoot thing?
Well, no. I remember before the White Dwarf update, and I could be completely out to lunch on this because this could be exactly how they were in the White Dwarf update. Before the White Dwarf update, they had a template weapon that did a shitload of damage, and yep. Then they also had a multi-shot weapon. So you kind of had the choice to use them as jump infantry, hang back, fire mm-hmm. lots of shots at a high ballistic skill, all strength 4, AP 4, or jump in close, drop your flame weapon, drop your flamers, and fucking murder them. Now, though, all they get is Flames of Tzeentch, which is a strength 4, AP 4 flame template with the Warp Flame special rule. So let's start giving Feel No Pain out like it's going out of style.
Oh, hey, I just skipped over them.
Yeah.
I was sitting there going, oh, well, they're just going to be like they are in the White Dwarf update.
Yeah, so like I said, for me, I think Flamers are a pass. Screamers are still a no-brainer.
Absolutely. Yeah, fair enough.
And I think that's the big thing, and I think that if you are playing Mono Tzeentch and you're hurting for anti-tank, Burning Chariots aren't bad because of the fact that they get Blue Fire of Tzeentch, mm-hmm. which is a heavy D3 las cannon with a much shorter range.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go wrong with that. I think Pink Fire of Tzeentch, why do you want to get that close with your chariot? But
mm-hmm. 10 all around, 3 hull points, that's a tough sell for me.
Especially when its max range is 18 inches.
Right.
It is a tough sell. If you're playing Mono Tzeentch, like I said, take it because it's a fucking heavy D3 last cannon. And you can zip around to rear armor.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to.
Screamers are the no-brainer.
It's definitely the better buy from the cannon.
I was going to say, I think Screamers are the no-brainer, but I thought the interesting thing is Horrors.
Mm-hmm.
The Magic Made Manifest rule, I think, is brilliant, especially as it ties into the lore of Tzeentch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I really, really love about it. Because basically, Horrors in 40K work like Horrors did in Fantasy last book, so nothing like they do in this current book.
Correct.
Where they start generating more warp charges. And when you consider the signature spell of Tzeentch being something that we mm-hmm. said was what magic and psychic powers should be able to do.
With a +3 to your casting.
With a +3 to your casting makes them mm-hmm. cast it on a 10 mm-hmm. on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. So I think Horrors, take a big brick of Horrors that are... 16 to 20 strong, just take the 20.
Yep.
I mean, they're 9 points each, or are they 10? I can't remember, but they're cheap. Just take the unit of 20, get your 3 warp charges, take the signature of Tzeentch, and laugh your way to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all there is to it. I think Horror's got a big, huge boost, a big upgrade, which I love. Flamers leave it home. Screamers are still a fucking steal.
Yep. Blue Scribes, I get why they're there, but fuck off.
Yep.
And the Changeling is Blurg.
Yep.
Nurgle. Not much to say about Nurgle that I haven't said already. You had talked about the drones.
Holy shit.
The Plague drones are great. I think that they're a lot of fun.
Jetpack cavalry is huge.
I think that's amazing. But they're out of place in the army. If you're playing Mono God, they're completely out of place. They're pointless. But obviously, you're not going to play Mono God in 40K.
No, again, there's no reason to aside from fluff. Exactly. If you want to play a fluffy Mono God list, go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no reason not to mix and match here because there are no penalties aside from not being able to use icons as teleport homes.
And the Warp Storm table.
Fucking one. Yes, but again, when it's on a six, who gives a fuck?
Who gives a fuck? You know, Beasts of Nurgle, toughness 5, which is great, but, you know, they're just beasts. I was really upset to see that they weren't monstrous creatures, but fair enough. I guess they're not that big when you compare them to, like,
effects or something. Monstrous creature would be crazy to get.
It's outside of your greater demon and your...
Oh, but I mean, I like it because unlike, and I think what's funny is Plague Drones and Fantasy are definitely the better option. Mm-hmm. Beasts of Nurgle, I feel, in 40K are specifically because of the it will not die rule.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at the same weapon skill, strength, toughness, initiative, and leadership between the two of them, but then the beast gets more wounds, an immunity to instant death thanks to it will not die, which is huge. Poison 4+, which the drones don't get.
Mm-hmm.
And the attention seeker rule is fucking great.
But just being able to throw the challenges out.
No, you That's did fantasy. Not read the 40K versions of those rules, sir.
I didn't.
Basically, if you charge one of my units, and it doesn't even have to be Nurgle. If you charge one of my units and I'm within 12 inches... And you successfully complete it. You can't just declare a charge.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Fuck your face. If you successfully complete it, I must immediately declare and resolve a charge against them. Which means no overwatch. I can't be shot because it's taking place in their turn and they're already in combat with my unit. And I just get to throw them in. So that big unit of 20 horrors, babysit them with beasts. Because if anything successfully gets at you, the beasts immediately charge in.
Mm-hmm.
And with D6 plus 1, poison 4 plus attacks, they're no slouches either.
Yep. Cool.
So,
fun?
Yeah, great. Beasts are a no-brainer in any list, period. They're fast, and with the Attention Seeker being letting you realistically babysit shooting units, which no other army can do,
right. Why
would you ever leave them at home? Plague drones, though, like I said, they just have less wounds. They can be instant killed by strength 10. They have, on average, less attacks because they only have 3 total. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you have stomps or anything like that in 40K. They don't have poison. Oh, I guess Demonic Gifts, Plague Sword. So they do have poison 4 plus. Yep. So they're both the same there. But yeah, like I said, I really feel like the beasts come out on top.
Well, they're good. They're decent for the points. I think that you can be pretty happy with them. And they definitely are going to be one of those units that just shine, you know, if you get 2 levels off of Epidemius. Again, Epidemius is the must. You take them. Take them, put them in the list. You're crazy not to, especially if you have at least 2 or 3 units in Nurgle. Slaanesh, obviously, with Rending, with the charge bonuses, they really do come out on top. You know, it's nice to see... like the Hellflayers, for instance, or, you know, even the Fiends and things of that nature, where it's just going to be a shit ton of Rending attacks all over the board. And they're going to be all over you in no time. So, you know, armies with a lot of numbers are going to laugh at it, but we're talking about a Marine game, and they're just going to be causing pain for Marine players.
Look, I think, like Beasts of Nurgle, Seekers of Slaanesh are a no-brainer you're going to see in every list. You have 3 attacks per Seeker. They're 12 points each. So I can take a unit of 20 for 240 points.
Yeah.
And that would give me, if I got a charge and they could all be attacking, that's 80 Rending attacks at weapon skill 5.
Yeah, with Acute Senses and Outflank, why not?
Yeah, Like, seriously, why would you not take a big-ass fucking unit of Seekers all the time?
Right.
They're super, super good.
And what's funny about that is then you got the Fiends for more, you know, which are more expensive, but really, why?
Well, and they're beasts, so they don't even get the plus 6-inch move with cavalry.
Mm-hmm.
Only Seekers get that. And that's why, again, like, it feels like I think it might be FAQ to include beasts, because it feels weird that the Seekers would, you know, infantry gets the plus 3 inches, as do the beasts, but the cavalry gets the plus 6.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be added as an FAQ, but if not, again, why would you come to the Fiend who's lost 2 attacks? So, I mean, they have the same number of attacks as a Seeker now, whereas before they were 5 attacks at strength 4, now they're 3 attacks at strength, or 5 attacks at strength 5, rending, whereas now they're 3 attacks at strength 4.
You don't care about the strength, you care about the rending. That's all you care about.
Absolutely.
That's it. Like, that's what makes strength 3 totally acceptable.
Yep.
Right? And that's exactly what, you know, the Demons of Sinesh come out feeling very good about, with the movement things on top of it. Demon Princes. Okay, but really I don't see a whole lot of fit for Demon Princes.
Can we back up before we hit the Demon Princes? I want to talk about the Slaanesh Chariots.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, fire away.
I think they are very, very interesting. I think that when you look at their rules on their own, you're kind of like, yeah, okay, they're not bad. Specifically when you're talking about Hell Flayers with, Flesh Shredder.
Okay, so are you talking about the Hell Flayer?
Hell Flayers and Seeker Chariots, kind of all together.
Okay, sure.
Because realistically, they all do the same things.
Well, yes. One is two of them glued together.
Well, the Exalted Seeker Chariot is. Yeah, way more butt cheeks. But I mean, what did they do? Is they dropped the strength of the Hammer of Wrath for these chariots, and they made them do D6 instead of D3. D6 Hammer Wrath attacks for each hull point it has remaining. So, if it has not taken any damage, you're throwing out 2d6, 4d6 on an Exalted Seeker Chariot, which is a whole lot of boom. And what I like about them is, you know, whereas all of your, I mean, A, being Demons of Slaanesh, they all have rending, so fuck your couch. Like I said, it's just, I love it because you're throwing out tons and tons of attacks. They all have rending, so who cares about that AP dash? And, when you look at the Hellflayers, the Soul Scent rule lets your rider get more attacks, which is not bad, again, adding in the rending. But what I think is interesting is, whereas Demonettes and Seekers are going to beat the hell out of Marines, these are the balance to help you deal with the occasional horde. So if you run against an orc army, or who am I kidding? Tyranids don't play anything bigger than 10 mats. but a guard army with a big 50 man, you can throw a unit of 3 Seeker Chariots in, and that is going to be 6d6 Hammer of Wrath hits.
Right.
You're going to start mowing through them. So I think that they're very interesting. Like I said, when you look at their rules, you're just like, yeah, that's not bad. But it's only when you look at the points costs that you're just like, holy shit. Because you have got the Hellflayer breaking the bank at 60 points for a fucking chariot. And then you've got Seeker Chariots running as either 40 points for regular or a whole 75 for the 4 hull points. And I just think that for the points cost, the chariots become a no-brainer. Like, if you're going to play Mono Slaanesh, you should have at least 1 unit of 3 Chariots and 2 Hellflayers to go with your Seekers. But like I say, you just can't go wrong with them because of how cheap they are.
Here's the problem. They are heavy support.
And
that means they have to contend with Soul Grinders. And every list should have 3 Soul Grinders.
You know what? That's fair. Hellflayers are not heavy support. They are fast attack. And Exalted Seeker Chariots can be mount options for Heralds.
You could do that with a Herald? Yes.
And I mean, for 75 points. Fuck
yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
I think you could definitely get away with doing that as a Herald, but that comes down to the big inherent flaws with Force Organization for Demons.
Why? I get 4 HQ choices if I want.
Which basically means that you're going to have 4 squads. I mean, I guess with Slaanesh you could get away with it, but in a lot of other armies, you're going to want the loci, right? Like, you're going to want the bonuses that you're going to get from having heralds, which is why you're given so many heralds.
Yeah.
But obviously you can't duplicate that HQ choice more than once, right? So you're only going to be able to take those four heralds, or however, it's four, right?
Yeah, because you can get take two heralds per HQ slot, right. So you could take a maximum.
All right, so let's talk about this now, and then we'll get into gear and psychic powers and stuff. Soul Grinders are amazing. For 135 points, they're fucking fantastic. Oh, dude, they're fucking amazing. 13 armor front and side. They've got the Iron Claw, which is a specialized melee times 2 strength AP 2 weapon.
It's just a Dreadnought close combat weapon. I don't know why he called it something else.
Well,
that's all it is.
That is all it is, yes. You can upgrade
unwieldy, him to a warp sword, though. Which makes sense. That's why. It's unwieldy. He strikes an initiative 1.
Well, I mean, who cares?
No, I know who cares, because you're either charging.
Soul Grinders are initiative 3. Ooh.
Oh, I know. But like I said, that's. Gonna get to again, that is why he didn't call it a Dreadnought close combat weapon, is Dreadnought close combat weapons do not confer unwieldy.
It's a really interesting story, but. Let's talk
with you. Really? Because I thought half our listenership just turned off in disgust.
4 attacks on him, 4 hull points, armor 13 front and side, with strength 6. I could absolutely understand people paying 25 points to give him the AP3 mastercrafted specialist weapon as opposed to the Iron Claw, but everyone's just going to stick to the Iron Claw because the Iron Claw is the way to go. Strength times 2, so he's 10, AP2. You know, like, yes, he's unwieldy, but again, for 135 points, he's a fucking monster. And his basic weapon, his fucking harvester cannon, is strength 7, AP 4, heavy 3, and has a skyfire option.
Yep.
Take 3. And that's all it is. And so I have a very, very hard time looking at anything in the heavy support slot, because as far as I'm concerned, every single army will have 3 of these. If you're playing demons or you're looking to build a demon list, you're going to buy 3 of these. And that's my problem with the demon list, is because as soon as you start looking at doing that, and you start looking at the way that you have to look at your heralds, because let's be frank, greater demons, you're not going to really be taking them. There's not a whole lot of point when you're talking about having 3 soul grinders on the table. Moving up the table, going gangbusters, firing away the entire time, and then getting into close combat and being dreadnoughts. You're just not. Outside of that, you've got Demon Princes, but Demon Princes, even still, it's just points you're going to want to spend someplace else. And there's no real reason to have that type of monstrous creature or flying monstrous creature when you have 3 tanks with Skyfire on the table, heavy 3 Skyfire on the table. So what you're looking at doing is taking an army in almost every situation, dependent on your 4 heralds and where you put them, which almost always, with the exception of maybe Slaanesh in this case because of the rending,
yep.
You're basically making it so that every army can't have more than 4 units or isn't going to want to take more than 4 units because they're going to feel like they're just throwaways.
Yeah, but...
It's a weird balancing act.
I was going to say, how is that any different than most competitive armies that you see? You know, like, if you were to build a Chaos Space Marine army, let's be honest, you have 4 units and a couple of extra fucking chaff, you know? I've got my unit spawns, I've got 2 units of Marines, each of them has a character in it, and then I've got a unit of bikes, and then I've got 3 Vindicators, right? So, I mean, I don't really feel like it is necessarily any different from the normal sort of list building things that you run into. For me, I just think it odd that they kept that 2-for-1 herald thing. I really wish that it wasn't 2-for-1 because it adds an extra layer into the list building aspects. Because if you know that only 2 of your units across your army can get a locus ability, all of a sudden there's a reason to take a greater demon, you know, or not, or just take 2 heralds and that's your HQ allotment. So, I mean...
Well, but that's the idea, right? Like, you can't give a Lord of Change a loci.
No. I am well aware of that. Realistically, though, if you're going to play Khorne and you have any amount of Khorne units, again, add the Blood Throne. Just let his locusts go to everything with Demon of Khorne.
See, but I don't even feel like that's the appropriate thing to do, because you have Blood Crushers, which are a good choice for 40k as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got Hounds now, and you've got the option to take Karnak and play that kind of game. So really, you know, you have what you need to make an army with three Soul Grinders on the table and, you know, taking your fast attacks and working it that way.
Remember,
that
Demon again, of Khorne is free for a Soul Grinder.
Right. And it's just, it's one of those things that you look at and you think to yourself, well, do I really need my core choices? Right? And that's where maybe you might look at Nurgle and say, okay, here's the way to go.
But, no, but remember what I said, though. All Demons of Khorne gain your Locus ability. So if you take your Greater Locus of Fury to get Rage, so everything has plus two attacks.
Oh, I totally get it.
Now those are Blood Crushers with plus two attacks. Those are Flesh Hounds with plus two attacks. Those are all of those different things. So, I mean, that's why I'm just like, if you're going to take a lot of Khorne units, whether they be Bloodletters or Blood Crushers or Flesh Hounds.
Yeah, I guess that's fair enough.
Take one Herald of Khorne, put him on a fucking Blood Throne, and just run him up with them. Because on a Chariot, he's fast enough to keep up with everything.
Yeah.
So that's why
with only a 5+ invulnerable save, I think the greater demons are they're chaff. I think that they're just way too vulnerable.
Yes, I agree, but I mean, look at a Keeper of Secrets, 170 points. Even if I give it no upgrades, it's such a great boogeyman when I have my three Soul Grinders on the table. So if I want to play Mono Slaanesh, right? I got my three Soul Grinders, all Demons of Slaanesh, which 15 points, they're fucking you on. But anyway.
But I look at that and think that that's just a lost unit of Demonettes. That's all I see.
That's true, because that is almost 20 Demonettes.
And that's exactly it, right? Like, I know 20 Demonettes is going to do a shit ton more than that Keeper of Secrets is going to do.
True story, bro.
Now, where this separates, in my eyes, now, and again, you did point out Khorne and the possibilities there, which is very cool. But where this separates in my eyes is actually Tzeentch. And the reason for that is the psychic powers. So I'm gonna flip back, and we're gonna go to the psychic powers for.
And we are all over the place.
The various goads. We're firing away here. Hold on, give me a second.
Page was 68 and 69. Dude.
The loci we'll kind of touch on in a little bit, but I mean, there's no huge surprises for the loci. All right, so let's go right into it. Discipline of Change, Primaris Power, Flickering Fire of Tzeentch. It's a Witchfire power, profile given below. The Flickering Fire of Tzeentch can be manifested in 1, 2, or 3 warp charge points. Declare how many you are going to use before attempting to manifest the power, which gives an additional D6 shots for each warp charge point expended. You know why this is fucking amazing? Range 24, strength 5. Not strength D6 plus 1, strength 5.
I would also like to point out that for a 25-point locus ability, it's plus 1 strength.
Hey.
Or did you miss that one?
Oh, no. That was all part of the give your heralds this, and when we go back to talk about lowcast. Because this is Tzeentch is the one in 40K where I look at and I go, okay, you know, Khorne, fine, but you have better options for close combat. Nurgle, fine, but there's no real reason to play this really defensive demon army. Slaanesh is the one that seems to win out because it's so straightforward that just demonette spam can just win you games. Because we are talking about a Space Marine game.
Dude, 180 points gives me 20 bodies.
Oh, that's fucking retarded.
I know. 5+
invulnerable save?
I mean, this is one of the only armies that I would say, if you were going to run fucking Slaanesh and go nuts, for less than 1,200 points, I could have 120 Demonettes on the board, and that's fucked.
That's fucking crazy with their bonus. Right. But Tzeentch is the one that builds on itself. It's all of these little pieces that add together to essentially make it the most powerful psychic army in the game in terms of damage that it can deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about being able to throw out, like say I throw out three warp charge tokens on this, range 24, strength 5, AP 4, assault 4d6 at that point.
Which on average is going to be about 14, which is huge.
That is fucking crazy. It also has Soul Blaze, and it also has Warp Flame. Now, Warp Flame is the same bullshit as before. It gives you feel no pain instead of regenerate. But who cares in 40K? That's the big thing. Who gives a shit in 40K, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, very few units are already stacking exactly. Good Feel No Pain. And if you're going to shoot this at a unit of Death Company, congratulations on your win, Mr. Blood Angels player.
Yeah, exactly. You now have a 6+ Feel No Pain.
3+, because they already have a 4+. But that's the point. Yeah, there you go. You're not going to throw it at units that already have it. You're not going to stack that. And if you are, you've already lost the game. Why don't you go play, I don't know, Trouble? Because at least that way, when you push the bubble, the dice rolls for you.
What's so strange about this is that when you look at all of the other powers for the Discipline of Change, you just don't care. You just don't care.
No, you do not.
Because it's all, again, strength D6+1, D6+4, like, who gives a fuck? Like, it's you have to get in close for Infernal Gateway, which you don't fucking want when you're playing Siege.
No.
Bolt of Change is Assault 1, which is a huge psychic power to waste.
Well, but I mean, it's...
You're not even going to guarantee is going to do the damage, especially when... You've got a Flaming Chariot that's guaranteeing the fucking damage.
Yes. Well, and that's the weird thing, is Bolt of Change, based on the fact that it's beam, it's AP2,
mm-hmm.
realistically, you would only ever want to shoot this at a vehicle. Right. You know, if he's got 2 or 3 rhinos lined up, you kind of zip in, you throw out the beam, and then you realize...
You're not trying to line up a hit on 2 Terminators.
And then you realize that you rolled a 1 and it's strength 5 and can't do shit.
Exactly.
And I think...
Unless you were trying to line it up on 2 Terminators.
In which case, you might wound one of them.
Mm.
Hey-o.
Oh, love.
You know, and that's the thing, is I think you're right, is you
and the blast is
good Flickering Fire of Tzeentch is, and you have to look at it, especially when you take the Exalted Locus of Conjuration to bump it to Strength 6. And it's just like, if I throw out 14 shots at a unit of Space Marine, sorry, I just have to see what their ballistic skill is, because I can't remember... Ballistic skill 3. I guess I'm only going to hit 7, but I mean, that's 2 Marines dead a turn. Every single turn.
That's on the Herald of Tzeentch?
Ballistic skill 3 on the unit, right? Because the way the unit has to focus it and expend the warp charges. So, I mean, it's good. I just don't know if it is worth the 180 for 20 and then the Herald plus, you know, 250 to 300 points to get 14, you know, 4D6.
It's the bonus to strength is what makes it worth it.
Yes, because realistically, when you're talking about the Marine game, though, mm-hmm. I look at this and I say I'd rather have more Demonettes. If you are talking about 40K as a whole, as in more than, you know, less than 80% of people played Marines, and you would actually run into a non-Marine army, I would say that they become a no-brainer. But I said, I just look at it and I was just
but
like,
here's where you crunch the numbers, right? Here's where you sit there and you go, okay.
If it was AP3, it's a no-brainer.
Well, obviously. Obviously. However, 3 Soul Grinders on the table, Flaming Chariots along with it. This is just like Bolter Fire. Like, it's like...
Yes, if you're playing...
It's like Tau Rifles, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's that same idea. This is your small arms fire. It's not your game-changing thing.
Yeah.
It's not your combat element. And you have more than enough other stuff on the table that's going to boogeyman this shit across the table. So I don't think that that's points wasted.
Well, yeah.
Because
these are things that,
unlike Nurgle sitting at the back of the table holding an objective doing shit all, you're sitting at the back of the table holding objectives with units of horrors, with a herald at the front, firing this shit off.
Well, I think what it comes down to is, if you are looking at taking a single unit of horrors, I think you're wasting your time.
Yes, and that's... you have to build a unit of horrors with a herald for
no,
each.
No. And I get that, but I mean like one single unit of 20 with a herald, you're still wasting your time because your points are better spent elsewhere. If you're playing Mono Tzeentch, obviously you have no other choices. But for me, I think the critical mass is 3 units, 4 is ideal. Because the other thing is even though warp flame sucks, it's not a good rule. It specifically says that at the end of the phase, if you suffered 1 or more wounds. So if you have 4 units that are all going to throw out 4d6 strength 6 shots.
Not saying you should have 4.
Not saying you should have 4. That's 1,200 points. I would rather have 120 demonettes.
I think having 2 units doing this,
again,
everything else on the table is...
Three is the point where this is a good idea. 2, I think you're just going to be underwhelmed at 600 points. But again, with Warp Flame, it's one, as long as you focus every single unit at one, he does one test. Okay, so it's not per wound, it's not per unit fired. It is Warp Flame is going to trigger at the end of the phase if that unit suffered one or more wounds. So if you're dumb, again, and you just gave his Death Company a 3+ feel no pain, and his Sanguinary Priests a 3+ feel no pain, just go home.
Oh, come on, man.
But let's
he defaults to psychic level 1, which is all you need. You get the +3 bonus for casting. He only costs 45 points. Go ahead and give him the locus that you need, right? And then you're golden, man. Like, that's not that bad.
But for me, like I said, it's just you're spending 180 points on the 20 horse.
It's not as good as other opportunities. I just think that I like it.
Yeah, that's fair. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, especially with how cheap the heralds are.
Well, and I like it because it's finally an army that makes you go, yeah, psychic powers.
Yep.
Right? Let's build an army around a psychic power. All right. So once we actually get to Discipline of Nurgle, or Discipline of the Plague.
Discipline of Plague and Discipline of Excess. I just
Stream of Corruption for the Primaris power is fine, but you're never really going to use it because you're never going to put your heralds out there anyways, and you're going to take...
Well, especially because you're slow and purposeful.
Right. It's just, it's not something you really care about. Plague Wind, you know, being AP2 strength 1 is great, except for the fact that it is range 12.
Yeah.
Which, again, you're never going to put your heralds out there to begin with.
You're going to get one shot off as a no fuck.
Right.
And that's
exactly it. Miasma of Pestilence, who cares? Rancid Visitations, again, it's a Nova power with a range of 12, but that's when you are fucked. Like, that is, the game's already over, you're in a position you don't want to be in to begin with. This Nova power is not suddenly changing the game for you. If you decided to take a Greater Demon, and you had a Great Unclean One, and you wanted to amp him up and have him do some psychic powers, sure, why not? Feel free.
But even then, he comes as a level 1 psyker. Just take Stream of Corruption. Because exactly. He's going to be running up to kill shit anyway, so he'll drop that breath weapon in the shooting phase, and then he'll do his random charge.
And he's a boogeyman, right? He's like that Keeper of Secrets. But, much like that Keeper of Secrets, there's a lot better options out there.
More Soul Grinders.
Discipline of Excess, I was pretty disappointed with.
Because I feel like the Chaos Space Marine lore of Slaanesh is probably the winner out of all of them. I mean, I know Nurgle is good, but if you build a list with a unit of Noise Marines, the Discipline of Slaanesh wins. It just straight up is outstandingly good. And then I read this and I was like, so?
Well, I mean, I disagree. I think Nurgle won out in that case as well, but... Oh, no, you were right.
Well, because
no, I liked, I remember.
I know you liked Nurgle, but like I said, for me, it was just as long as you had one big unit of Noise Marines, there was no bad spell in Slaanesh. Right. Everything worked good.
Right. All right. So,
but anyway, Primaris power sucks. Again, it's the strength 6 beam.
It's all blah blah mediocre.
But I mean, it's AP dash, and
if you can't even get a half decent Primaris power, go fuck yourself. As far as I'm concerned, if the Primaris power is not worth taking and not worth banking on, where you at least know that you can default to this Primaris power if you don't roll the one that you want, it's a total waste of time. As far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, because Acquiescence is so good. It's so incredibly good that is a power that you would literally buy a mastery level 3, roll all 3 to guarantee you get it, even though who gives a fuck about Pavane and Cacophonic Choir? Because it's just like Acquiescence, -5 penalty to its initiative, which basically means everything's initiative 1. Even Dark Eldar are initiative 1. That's fucking huge. But more importantly, may not use counterattack or fire Overwatch. Shit me, now your unit of 20 demonettes gets to charge a unit that even in cover, we're striking simultaneous, so I don't need that Skull Cannon of Corn bullshit. You know, you can't shoot me on the way in, which is great, because I'm only toughness 3 with a 5-up invuln, and I just get to go in and fuck your face. And especially Space Wolves, because they have counterattack, but not anymore. So it's just like, it's such a phenomenally good power, and it's so disappointing that Lash of Slaanesh is bad. Pavane of Slaanesh must pass a leadership test or suffer a wound. Seriously, this game is a leadership 10.
Mm-hmm.
Who gives a fuck? It's not going to do anything. And then Cacophonic Choir, okay, it's a Nova, but then they have to roll a leadership test and suffer wounds. So again, for the same reason that Pavane sucks, Cacophonic Choir sucks. Only it requires more warp charges, so it kind of sucks harder. And that's, I think, my problem is just like if they swapped Lash of Slaanesh and Acquiescence and made Acquiescence the Primaris, it's a no-brainer. You take Discipline of Excess on everything.
Mm-hmm.
But as it is, if you're going to take a keeper who can choose Telepathy or Excess, you take Telepathy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just better. And same thing with those Heralds. If you are going to upgrade them to become Psykers and mm-hmm. game mastery levels, you take Telepathy because, like I said, out of four powers, three of them are bad. One of them is outstanding. And I don't think that that is worth the risk.
Well, it's definitely a hard sell, right? And I think that's always going to be the issue, again, when we talk about the fact that, you know, you're not really taking your heralds specifically for that. And you have other things that are going to do it better. So, you know, having to roll for it, hope for the random thing, and then, again, try to get the spell off. On your leadership, what, 7 or 8? 8?
Yeah, 9 on your keeper, 8 on your herald.
Right, it falls off.
Yep.
Zeench getting the +3 means that the heralds are, you know, rolling it on that 10, which is amazing.
Dude, see, here's my thinking, though. Actually, I think that they would be rolling it on an 11, only failing on the double sixes, which actually means that a Lord of Change, being leadership 9, will pass on everything, but will suffer perils on double sixes, double ones.
Yeah, we'll wait for the FAQ on that one, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that does require an FAQ, but I mean, for me, that is how I would play it. I would not think anyone is a jerk for playing it that way either, because it specifically says they gain a +3 to their leadership. So if I'm a Lord of Change, and it makes sense, a Lord of Change will always succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Always, but there is still the chance of rolling a perils from the warp. So go ahead, roll your 2 dice. Hell, roll mm-hmm. 1 dice, and if it's a 1 or a 6, roll another one.
Well, yeah, whatever. However you want to do it.
Yeah, however you want to do it.
All right. So let's talk about
Lore of Zeench. Yeah, primary Flickering Fire, best fucking thing in all of them.
Well, and I mean, even going in on top of that, you know, you have the option to take a Herald of Zeench, right? And the Herald of Zeench can also take, like, if you want to amp them up to a level 2 or a level 3, if you're planning on taking 1 or 2, you know, you still get to take the Primaris Power for Change and Divination, right? Or, well, Change, obviously, Divination being a relatively decent Primaris Psychic Power as well.
If you are going to do the Horror Bomb, where you're going to throw out your 4d6, Strength 6, spend 50 points to make him a Mastery Level 3, default to the Primaris power, and throw out another 4d6. And I think that's the money right there, because then you're paying. Of course you can.
Can you cast the Primaris power twice in a turn?
Well, yes, because they're different units. Because the Horror unit will cast it on leadership 10, throwing out 4d6, benefiting from his locus. Then he will cast it on leadership 11, throwing out 4d6. So, I mean,
okay, here's then, and I'm gonna flip back. Here's then where I got a bit confused.
Okay.
Because when you go in and you talk to whores, at no point...
I love talking to whores. They always have the most interesting stories. You just cannot...
At no point does it say that they are psychers. It just says... the psyker rule.
Yeah, so it's just like they have...
They generate powers from the change discipline.
From the change. And Magic Made Manifest boosts them up. Right. So again, a unit of 20 horrors, 180 points, they get 3 warp charge tokens.
Yep.
So all you do, because it still says that they are, it doesn't increase.
That's what it was.
There's mastery level.
That's why 2. That's why 2 is the one where I'm just like, but if you take 2 with 2 heralds. And then you can do that. You can do that
because full time. Now you throw out 8. So because if you upgrade your Herald of Zeench, your unit will cost 300 points for mm-hmm. 20 horrors with that Herald being level 3 with the Locus of Conjuration.
Mm-hmm.
300 points. Take 2 units. You now throw out 16d6.
Yep.
Strength 6 shots. And remember, your Herald actually hits better. So half of them, so 8d6 are going to hit on threes.
Yep.
8d6 are going to hit on fours. Either way, it's probably going to mess up a unit. And 600 points, who cares?
Right. And that was actually the build. You got to remember, I read this book a week ago and I came up with
same.
This stuff. But yes.
A little slow on remembering that.
I absolutely. But that is exactly one of those things that makes it stand out. And for me, it was definitely, you know, because you can split where you're taking your psychic powers. You know, you just take Warp Flame or Flickering Flames from Change, and then you just generate your other two spells from Divination. Because you can still get a decent roll on Divination, and it is psychic powers that can potentially be very helpful for you later in the game.
Yes, if you do require them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see why.
It's not like you're always going to be using them, but you never know. I mean, when there's the opportunity to shoot.
If everything is always... you know, is always kind of there. It's great. You know what might actually be good with Divination is take one of your warp charges off your Herald, cast it on his unit of horrors, because now they get to reroll their failed to hit rolls.
Yeah.
So now instead of throwing out
8d6,
you're only throwing out 7d6, but you're rerolling everything.
Yes.
And I think that is fantastic. And I think you cannot go wrong by doing it that way. And then who cares what your other divination power is?
Right.
Really, it doesn't.
So
if you roll something good, great. If not, who cares?
All right. So obviously, we can talk on and on about the melee weapons, the demonic gifts, you know, all the various shooting things that you can do with there. Let's go quickly through and talk about any big losers in this book that we feel are just never going to be touched. I mean, obviously, we talked kind of on the Changeling, the Blue Scribes, things of that nature. But I think
the no book is to take Furies.
No, there really is no reason to take Furies. And again, we've referred to Furies as being that bastard stepchild, no matter how you play it.
Which is hilarious because in fantasy, they're probably point for point the best artillery hunters you can buy.
Pretty much.
Like of the 600 lists I sent you,
every single one of them had Furies. And it's not like I was sitting there going like, you're an idiot to take Furies.
Yeah, you're always just like, for 70 points, why wouldn't you take 5?
Exactly. You upgrade them, you know, again, decent to upgrade them, you know, but it's totally pointless in 40K. Like I said, anything in the heavy support choice, as far as I'm concerned, is completely forfeit because you just take Soul Grinders. They're just far too fucking good.
Yeah, well,
they're amazing. They're Dreadnought points, and they are fucking crazy.
Yes, you know what? I agree.
Goddamn hull points.
You know, and the fact of the matter is the most expensive one is going to be 150 points because there's no real reason to upgrade any of his weapons or his warp sword or anything.
No, sir.
So even if you are playing themed and you want to give them shrouded, because, hey, let's be honest, that's a good idea.
Not terrible.
Because they will actually be hanging out and shooting.
That's correct. And running forward,
it's 150 points. And so 450 on your typical 1500 point list, I can still build 1,000 points of awesome.
Easy.
And I'm happy doing that.
Yep.
And
you and I obviously agree, mix the shit out of everything. All your core choices should essentially be Slaanesh, because, listen, as much as I like the Zinch shit, point for point, Slaanesh is better. And we're talking about 40K, which is the Marine game.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest reason is Demonettes can stand on their own.
Well, and you can build a Horrors.
Horrors are okay without the Herald. Horrors are outstanding with the Herald. And if you are building that Herald to really max it out, like we said, you're spending 300 points, whereas I'm spending 180 to get 20 Demonettes.
Mm-hmm.
And so your 600 points bought you 40 Horrors and 2 Heralds, and that bought me 60 Demonettes, and I still have points left over.
Easy peasy. Well, what it comes down to, what I really like about it is it does add a very interesting imagery to 40K in the sense, well, Slaanesh is always interesting imagery.
Hey,
really. Hey. but really, it's the idea of Demonettes being a Horde army. Like, it's this idea of, no, you max that shit out. You go all out, three Soul Grinders, nothing but units of Demonettes. You give them loci abilities to give them move through cover. You know, like, you can give them the stuff to really, really...
Yeah, I was going to say, impressive. I can't quite remember what the locus abilities is.
Well, I'm going to flip this back. This is the last bit.
This is the one thing that I will say Matt Ward did better than Robin Credace in how this book was written,
mm-hmm.
is Robin Credace decided to put every single locus ability in a one table and did the, like, four lessers, four graders, four exalted. And then to know who can take what, you have to go to your list selection where it says, a Herald of Tzeentch can take this one, this one, this one. Whereas Matt Ward at least presented it on the Herald's page.
Right.
So you could immediately look at it and think of it that way. But like I said, what I can't remember.
10 points for the Locus of Grace to have them move through cover.
I would say put a Herald on a Seeker and give her the Locus of Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a 20-man Seeker unit for 240 points, considering that it's 80 attacks on the charge, is a no-brainer. I think you are, like, you can always find that, especially when you consider that it is 60 points more expensive than 20 infantry demonettes,
mm-hmm.
and they are cavalry with a better run.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like that unit for 240 points has a guaranteed turn 2 charge because they are that fast. Why would you not take it?
Now, one of the things that you'll kind of notice that we didn't really talk about is the exalted rewards, because there's really no point in taking them in almost every situation. I mean, obviously, there's going to be some defaulted stuff like the Hellforged artifacts, but the Hellforged artifacts were lackluster at best, in my mind.
Yeah, you know what? I honestly can't remember what any of them do.
The magical weapon?
The portal glyph was bad on account of the fact that it's a vehicle mm-hmm. with one hull point. That's so right. A single glance and your portal's gone.
It's pointless. The lesser rewards that give you the magic weapon, which is basically the default so-and-such weapon for your Herald.
So Eternal Blade is basically the yep. same, but you get yep. plus one strength and...
Okay. Or you go greater, and greater gives you the greater Aether Blade, or the various demon weapons and stuff like that. It's just, you know, I don't see the point. I mm-hmm. think that demons, the way that this list is built, is really, really going to be specific to this idea of hoarding, you know, mm-hmm. or taking these special choices and just building your list around that. Don't see a lot of people looking at these exalted rewards going like, oh yeah, that's worth it. I got to buy all of those.
Especially when you consider the fact that a Herald of Khorne is very cheap, unlike mm-hmm. his fantasy counterpart, and he comes with a Hellblade, so he's already right. packing AP3.
Yep.
And realistically, if you need the ability to kill Terminators and 2+ armor saves, there are better choices for that.
It's called
your Soul Grinders can do it. You know, you can get some... So, I mean,
It's called Rending. That's
really what it comes down to yeah. is demonettes are going to punk, you know, anything Slaanesh are going to punk the 2+ saves for you. Because if I throw in 20 demonettes, hell, let's go point for point. I throw 40 demonettes mm-hmm. into a single combat against 10 Terminators. Are you going to tell me that my 120 rending attacks that hit on threes is not going to finish that fight for me?
Mm-hmm.
Of course it will.
No, you need to make sure that your Herald had a greater reward. And like I said before, demon princes, greater demons, they just don't really, they're not really worthwhile. I mean,
you know,
by all means, go for it. I'm not going to point at you and call you an asshole for taking one or a big moron. But really, it's just...
I think the biggest
points are better spent in almost every other place.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, is I think the problem is when you look at the points efficiency of this book, everything in this book is fucking cheap. Right. When a bloodletter is the single most expensive core option, you know, troops option, at 10 points per model,
mm-hmm.
holy shit, like, everything here is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, blood crushers or Terminator costs, flamers are half that, Beasts and Urgle are rightfully 52 points, but at 1-9 for unit size, mm-hmm. and with what the Attention Seeker special rule does, mm-hmm. Sure, take a few of them, but everything else is fucking budget.
I think really what it comes down to, and we'll talk about this more in a couple episodes here when we talk about tactics, I think that we're all going to see basically the same list, because I think the winners are clear, and I think that because you're not really seeing the drawbacks that you were seeing in fantasy, when it comes to list building, what you're going to see is nothing but core with demonettes. You know, nothing but soul grinders in your heavy, nothing but seekers in your fast attack.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your fucking army. You
know,
might have a couple heralds in there, but really, like, it just...
You know what's funny is in all of the lists that I was writing for fantasy, I think what it really came down to is everything that I was doing was either going to be mono Nurgle or mono Khorne, or maybe a mix between the two gods.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I think Mono Slaanesh is completely viable. I think Mono Tzeentch is viable. I don't think it's as good as Mono Slaanesh, but I think a mixture between the two is really where you're going to win. Maybe take some support elements of other gods, but realistically...
Soul Grinders of Nurgle, Demonettes of Slaanesh,
yeah,
Beasts of Nurgle.
Even Soul Grinders of Tzeentch and take the reroll on your failed save of one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's 10 points cheaper. But either way, like I said, it's very interesting that in fantasy, the clear winners, the winners in fantasy are the losers in 40K and vice versa. And I think that that's very interesting because as someone who plays both games is collecting the demon army. I mean, all I'm looking at this and just going like, great, now I got to paint like 300 models. Because mm-hmm. I got to do my fantasy armies and then I got to do my 40K armies. And of course, what's good here doesn't, is not effective over there. So I just thought that that was interesting. Because I mean, for, you know, you and I, after all the lists we agreed on for fantasy, the best list I came up with was Mono Nurgle.
Mono Nurgle.
Everything was Mark of Nurgle. Here, I wouldn't even consider Mono Nurgle. I don't think that it is...
They're the big losers.
Yeah, they really are. So, I mean, for me, I could do Mono Tzeentch, I could do Mono Slaanesh, I could mix the two of them with the odd element here and there. But I think, realistically, if you avoid the elite selection, this is a horde army. You could easily take 150 to 200 models.
So here's the question, and this is the weekly listener poll for this next week. Do you think that it was on purpose? Do you think that making things good in Warhammer 40,000 and making them shit in Warhammer and vice versa was something that was done on purpose by Games Workshop to make it so that people like Nathan have to buy everything in the range in order to play this particular type of army in both Warhammer 40K and Warhammer Fantasy? Because like you said, they're both drastically different. And they're both, you know, totally different strategies. Or do you feel like it's just dumb luck? So I will put that up on the website when we get there. JadedGamerCast.com. Go ahead and vote. We will talk about it on next week's show. Overall, I'm pretty happy with Chaos Demons. I think that the potential is definitely there. And I like the fact that, like I said before, it's like you're playing a 40K army again.
Yes.
And it really does stand out. And I like the changes to it. It actually feels a lot more like the fluff. No,
hey,
I didn't.
Hey, amateur, turn your fucking phone off.
You.
Jesus Christ. You know what? Maybe if we'd done 118 episodes, you'd have learned it by now. But us being fucking new at this.
You know what, Nathan? It was like 8 episodes you forgot to mute your phone.
You know what? That's fair. I think we're pretty much even on the phones
it
ringing.
It is a deep. But no.
But you yeah. know, one thing I do want to point out that I think that we didn't really talk about, but I think is very, very interesting, is the fact that every single unit has the Deep Strike Universal Special Rule.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you a level of tactical flexibility that a lot of other armies don't have. And when you consider how cheap everything is, why the fuck wouldn't you? So if you're going to do 4 units of 20 Demonettes, because that's all of 720 points, why not keep one in reserve to zone in on your Seeker's as icon? Because, I mean, it's, what, 10 points to get a teleport homer for him?
Right.
Like, fuck yeah, why wouldn't you? Especially with the changes to how reserve rolls are done, reserves come in more reliably.
And just being able to deep strike on objective markers, even. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like it's very, very helpful, and I do... Yeah, we didn't really touch on it, but again, I think it was one of those things like the weapons, you know, and the changes in those places where you kind of sit there and you go, yeah, but we all know why that's good. We don't really have to talk about why that's good.
It's
one of those things that you're never going to build it into like the core tactics of your army because everything has it.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to depending on who you're playing, depending on what list you go up against, you're just going to be like, you know what, I'm just going to deep strike a couple extra units. That's it.
Yeah,
I think you'll be perfectly happy doing it.
Yeah, and Lucy, it's just that's what I thought was interesting.
Oh, I'm playing Tau, deep strike.
Oh yeah, playing Tau. My 2 units of Seekers because hey, it's 480 points. They're gonna move. They're gonna run,
right.
And then the next turn, my Demonettes are gonna use their teleport homers, and then we're gonna kill some Tau. No, I said I am very happy with it because the issues that the previous 40K Demons book had was unreliability due to the way that the demonic assault rules worked, where, I mean, this was something we said back way back when we still did higher learning, was build a symmetrical demons list so that you can't get fucked by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was really, you know, it was a mechanic that forced you to build a boring symmetrical list. I have two Lord of Changes, identically geared. I have two, you know, four units of heralds, or horrors, identical. So, I mean, it's like everything you did was identical, so that role didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And that really kind of screwed over, you know, the flavor of the army. The other issue was the list had no mobility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really didn't. I mean, what? It had three units of beasts, and that was it. Now you've got, what, six different chariots?
Mm-hmm.
Chariots are all fast. You got beasts and cavalry all over the place. So, jetpack
cavalry.
Yeah, jetpack cavalry, for fuck's sake. So it's just like the issues that the army used to have been addressed. And I really do feel like they are finally appropriately points costed to being low toughness with no armor whatsoever. I mean, yeah, an invulnerable save is great. But at the end of the day, with the changes that 40K has made in forcing you to take 10 men to get a last cannon. Like, the 5-man last plas squad is dead.
Yeah.
So it's not like your 5+ invuln only is saving you from all the bolters. No, those 9 bolters are fucking your face in. And when you were paying 14 points a model or 16, you know, 15 points a model, you were getting hosed. So now, you know, 9 and 10 points, like, everything I feel is appropriately points costed. I feel that the mobility issues have been addressed. I feel like the unreliability issues have been addressed. And I feel that demons can actually compete at the highest levels.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas before, they had to rely on the fact that screamers were so unbelievably overpowered.
That your whole army was screamers.
Yes, because that was it, is when the White Dwarf update, quote-unquote, came out, basically, if you played Chaos Demons, your entire army was heralds on chariots, as many flamers as you could take, as many screamers as you can take, and the rest of your army was just minned out horror squads.
Mm-hmm.
And it was effective. I mean, for fuck's sakes, that exact army won the Bay Area Open.
Yep.
For fuck's sakes, this past year. So, I mean, it's just like, not saying they couldn't win, but it was just like the White Dwarf update overpowered those two units so significantly
that
was every single army. Now I feel like you can have diversity, even though I do think that Slaanesh is the big winner.
Yeah. Well, I think Slaanesh
Nurgle is the big winner. In fantasy, Slaanesh is the big winner here.
Well, it's actually funny. Hey, something shiny. I got a message from Scott, previous guest host, on the show here, and he was saying, like, oh yeah, I'm going back and I'm listening to all your most recent episodes. Oh, I'm so angry, I'm pulling my hair out. And I'm like, why are you pulling your hair out? And he's like, oh, you guys are missing so much. He's like, and you got like this one thing wrong. And I was like, dude, don't you remember when we said that, you know, people can read and we're not always right, and sometimes, you know, everybody has that situation on a new army book. Like, when have people not fucked up a new army book? You know, and I was sitting there laughing because he's just like, oh, you forgot to mention this and this. I was like, ah, whatever, man. And I was just sitting there thinking to myself, fuck, you know what I forgot to mention? And this is what frustrated me so much about the whole Nurgle thing as well. Again, this is the whole reading it a week ago bit. Was the fact that with the Plague Swords, yeah, they get Poison 4+. They also get that Touch of Rust special ability, which allows them to punch down vehicles on a 6.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're like Goss.
Right, and it's just like, ah, fuck. Like,
but
why could this not be a chargey army?
Yeah, but again,
like a slow, stinky tidal wave. Like, why could we not do that? Like a tidal wave of garbage.
You know, and the worst part is it's as easy as taking away slow and purposeful. Because I was going to say, with slow and purposeful, yes, you're kind of
fucked. It's outdated. It doesn't fit the fluff. Every time the fluff has plague bearers in it, they're fast. They're a lot faster than they seem. They're not shambling zombies. Yeah. Zombies are zombies.
But no, you're absolutely right, because realistically, what does Touch of Rust mean to a mono Nurgle army?
Right.
It means that if your Plague Bearers get charged by a Dreadnought, they're not fucked.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, actually, I completely forgot about that. That's the only reason to take Plague Drones.
Right.
Run up and Touch of Rust a vehicle. Because they have Plague Swords.
And that's exactly it.
But that's it.
They're expensive you have to do no that shit, and you have better things to spend your fast attack points on.
Seekers.
That's exactly it. Or fucking Hounds, or fucking
Flaming Chariots. Yeah, 16 points. Because like the thing is when I was initially reading the book last week, I was just like, why would you not take 20 Flesh Hounds?
With Karnak, and then a dude on a throne.
Yeah, dude, the dude on the throne giving them, like, fucking rage would give them 4 attacks at strength 5 per dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's 80 strength 5 attacks. It's going to hurt a lot of shit, especially with their weapon skill of 5. And then a friend pointed out that Seekers are 25% cheaper and have rending. And I was like, oh, yeah, take them.
See, and that's always kind of what's funny about it, is we're basically seeing a lot of the same stuff happening over and over again. You're just basically picking the one that you like best. Yeah. But it is excluding certain stuff, because I could not find a place for Plague Drones. We'll talk about it when we get to the list building section. But yeah, I had a very hard time finding a place for Plague Drones.
Just, for me, I think I'm almost
super shocked. No, don't. Let's just...
No. You want to end it, because we're at an hour and a half? Like, I don't want to talk about building lists, but it's just like, when I look at this, I get sticker shocked looking at things like Blood Crushers and Plague Drones and Fiends, because everything is so cheap that the idea of spending 45 points on a model is just crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's just like, so I could take my unit of 9 Blood Crushers, which is going to run over 400 points, or again, I could take 40 Demonettes. And it's just like, I think that's the issue that you're going to see here, is I don't even think you're going to see a whole ton of those really big, expensive elite choices, because when you compare them point for point to other things in this book, it's not like I'm saying a Blood Crusher compared to a Terminator. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, why would I take 9 Blood Crushers when I could take 40 Demonettes?
Mm-hmm.
Or I could take 35 Seekers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what
grinders. We're seeing.
Yeah, or Soul Grinder. I mean, and that's exactly it, is I could take 9 Blood Crushers or 3 Soul Grinders, and I know what I'm going to take.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we'll definitely talk about it in 2 weeks' time when we come back and we start talking lists.
Well, and I've got an interesting question for you when we actually start talking lists on Demons 40K, but that will wait for that episode. That has been Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.